At the end of the day, it's up to the panel to decide what the outcome will be.
That is not acceptable as a professional athlete these days.
You can't assume that that is the way of the world now.
I've just seen too many times recently where he's just been hit.
We just don't have that sort of foot on the throat where we really just put teams away.
He looked twice the player when Ponga's on the field as well. Yeah.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, time now for Pressing Matters.
It's our Tuesday segment, Pressing Matters, and let's have a little listen. Firstly, the big news yesterday at the Roosters, Luke Keary announced that this season will be his last, the 32-year-old. I only signed an extension a couple of months ago, so he's joining Jarrell Hargreaves, Joey Manu, Joseph Swartley, and heading for the exit at Bondi Junction at the end of the year. Angus Crichton and Daniel Tupou are also possibly leaving. Three premierships, Luke Keary, won at Souths in 2014. He was the Clive Churchill medalist when they won the premiership in 2018. And then they backed it up, the Roosters, in 2019. So he's played 212 games so far. One origin for New South Wales, game one, that was in 2020, the COVID year. And a couple of tests for Australia in 2018. He played three for Ireland at the 2022 Rugby League World Cup as well. Here's Luke Keary announcing it. They put out on the Roosters website a video of his announcement yesterday.
So after 12 seasons and 27 years of playing the game I love, I've decided that this will be my last and I'll be retiring at the end of the year. It's a decision I've had thought long and hard about. I know this is the right decision for myself and my family. Right now, my main focus is on giving my all for this great club for the remainder of the 2024 campaign. I'm excited about what we are building towards and I look forward to creating special memories throughout the rest of the year.
Luke Keary there, and was, you know, alluded to it earlier. Probably not a great surprise, despite the fact he announced that extension a couple of months ago.
No, and I think he's made the right decision if he's hasn't got the desire and that want to compete. And it's not so much on the field, but it's about at training as well. And the intensity levels at training these days is just as high as what they are on the field. And you know, you look at his long-term issues that he's had with concussion and head knocks, and I know he said that that's not one of the reasons, but you certainly have to think about it when you're making decisions about your future. But he's had a wonderful career. He's been a three-time premiership winner, and he's been one of the gutsiest players we've ever seen. For someone his stature, to put his body on the line and to put his body through what he has been remarkable. You know, he's a halfback or 5'8" that took the ball deep into the line. Got belted on a number of occasions. He'd have big blokes aiming up at him every week. It's not like Luke Keary could go out onto the football field and no one knew where he was, because in team meetings in the lead up to the game, they'd be saying, he's stationed here. This is where he'll be. This is how we need to get to him. This is how we need to find him one-on-one. This is how we're looking for a quick play the ball. And if he's got the ball, you know, he's only a small man. Let's try and be aggressive with him. Handle him, a manhandle him if we can. So he's put his body through a lot. But I've spoken on this program before about people retire for different reasons. But one thing, if you've lost that hunger and desire to compete, you know it's time.
Yeah, especially in that sport too, where it's, you know, so hard on your body. What I love whenever I hear, you know, people are doing this, and in this instance it's Luke, is the fact that what other people say about you. That's the nicest thing. The coaches come out and, you know, what a great player. And I listen to Cooper Cronk and you know, and these guys, you know, he's a legend of our sport, these guys. And they're coming out and what a great guy he is on and off the court. And that's what, to me as a player, when you retire, if your peers are saying that about you, head up.
Yeah. And the thing about it now is that he knows where the finish line is. So he can really push himself. And he's got that date that he knows that it's final. So I reckon he'll get an extra spring in his step now when he turns up at training, because he realises that this could end. Well, it's going to end at the end of the year, but I need to make the most of this while
and
I'm here
right now.
And can also
bring that spring for the team.
Yeah, exactly right.
Not only he retiring, you look at, you know, Hargreaves and what's going on with Manu, although he may be back. Yeah. You know, all these things can lift the team.
And I don't know how you came to the decision, Brad, but for me, I was woke up one morning and just knew that I didn't have the drive and passion. And my knee wasn't great, and I knew that I couldn't play to the standards that I wanted to.
That's the one.
So I knew that I didn't want to run around, continue to run around and not be the player I used to be.
It's the standards one.
Yeah, the standards. Mm. And the other one is, at least he gets to do it on his own terms, because sometimes it gets taken away from you.
Yep.
And I reckon that would be hard. If you've still got that love, you've still got that passion, but all of a sudden, a sudden injury stops and derails your career.
Or a team says, see you later.
Yeah.
Yeah, so right. For me, I had two shoulder reconstructions, and the body was like, I don't want to go through that. I had a two-year deal on the table, and I was like, I can't do this. And I remember speaking to my girlfriend, now wife, back then going, I don't know if I can do well, do what you want to do. But then, you know, sometimes you think later, should have I done it?
Yeah.
I do like the fact that I did retire probably, I didn't want to ever retire where, geez, you're playing awful. Mm. Like, and the club don't want you anymore. I didn't want that, and thankfully I didn't have to. But still, I would have liked to walk out with a championship as well, but I didn't get that one either.
And he's one of the players to cross the, well, do we say the Allison Road divide?
Yes. Yes.
Between Souths and the Roosters, and to win premierships at both clubs.
That's amazing. You know, 2014, wasn't it, Rabbitohs? Yeah. And he was great. Yep. And I remember when he signed, I was like, oh, that's an interesting one. And look what he's done for the club. Brilliant.
Another rugby union player, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he was. Would you say Allison Rowe's probably the most cleanest divide between Souths and the Roosters?
Allison, I know that's Anzac Parade, you know, it's got to get in there.
Yeah. I remember when I lived in Coogee, and this is uni, I reckon in Coogee most people, out of the two clubs, there were more South fans in Coogee, but that was 20 years ago.
I think
land values in Coogee have exploded since then.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's look, it's always divided there.
I know.
It's you can sit in pubs and clubs down in Coogee and half a half, and the other half go at you.
Okay, we didn't have it was the only big retirement announcement yesterday in the AFL. Former Adelaide captain Rory Sloane. Gee, what a player he's been. He retired effective immediately on medical advice. Now, he had eye surgery. He's had big eye issues. He's had detached retinas, fractured eye sockets, etc., and had surgery on a previous issue again in January. And he was at risk of further damage. So after 255 games, his career has ended. Rory Sloane.
16 seasons.
Yeah, let's have a listen to Rory Sloane.
They're the reasons you want to play. I mean, we've got a showdown coming up this weekend, and I was like, not getting those moments again, laying those tackles and playing in front of that crowd and getting to do what we do with all this crew here and this footy club. I mean, I love my job. I've loved being a part of this for 16 years, and it's probably the realisation you've got to let that go at some point for the betterment of my future health was, that was just pretty tough for me. But I do like seeing things, so I will keep my vision for the rest of my life, and that's something I'm going to cherish. I've dodged a couple of bullets along the way, but I've got so many memories.
Pretty good reason to retire, I reckon.
Yeah, wow. That's big, isn't it? When you say that. Goes back to what you were just saying.
Well, that's exactly right, Brad. You know, when you're talking about you could possibly lose your eyesight or rugby league, we've got to remember that rugby league's only a short period of your life, and you've got a lot more years after your sporting career to look forward to. And while he will have some regret at some stage, Rory, about the fact that it was taken away from him, hopefully he is able to move on and forget about not retiring on his own terms, but realise the great career that he's had and the impact he's had on a footy team, the impact he's had on a community, and all the nice things that are about to happen to him moving forward, family, being around to celebrate milestones, being able to see your kids, see your wife, see your family. I think that's more important than playing rugby league. AFL.
Brad Newley, a former Sydney Kings player, dual Olympian, retired this year from Melbourne United. And I spoke to him and he said that this whole year he had been talking to a psychologist about retiring. And when I hear these type of things, I worry for players after their sport, whatever sport that may be. You know, we all know it, Loz, you grow up and you're told when to eat, you're told when to sleep, you're told what to do, be a training, do this, go on the road, we're flying, we're doing these things. And then all of a sudden, you're on your own. And it's so hard. And many years ago, there was no such thing as, you know, sports psychologists and things like that. It was just deal with it yourself. And I remember speaking to Brad about this, Brad Newley, and he said it was so hard, the decision, if I didn't have that person next to me, you know, saying, it's okay. Mm. You can do this. And, you know, you hear people in sport, and I just hope for Rory, going back on what you were saying, Loz, that I guess in a forced retirement is really what we're saying, even after 16 seasons and what a great career, you just hope that the support's there because it's tough. Yeah. It's really tough. Not everyone gets the chance, like you're saying, to retire on their terms.
Well, sometimes you're unsure of what your future holds for you. You're nervous.
Financials,
about
everything.
Everything comes into play. And you think that you've been a footballer all your life. What am I going to do now? So that's why you always tell people to start to prepare as quickly as you can.
You're never ready, are you?
No, but you're never ready when you have to make that decision or it's taken away from you. But all, and I can only speak, say, for rugby league players and exactly what you said before about, everything's done for you.
Yep.
So you've got to be able to have structure in your life when you finish your footy career. And if you don't, that's when I think you can start to go by the wayside and start to get in trouble and lose your way. So you've got to have a reason to get up in the morning. You've got to have structure in your life. You've got to get up and go to work or find something you have to do to fill in your time, fill in your day. Because if you're sitting around with a bit of money, twiddling your thumbs, well, I know what you can get yourself into.
Yeah. No better example at the moment. Sam Fisher, very good player at St Kilda during the course of his career. He is off to jail on May 16. Yeah. He's going to be sentenced for drug trafficking.
Mm.
Sad, sad story. I saw him in a picture on the weekend with all his old St Kilda teammates, like all the great players, Rewald, etc., all rallied around him. You know, he played in those grand finals in 2009-10. Yeah. I think he was All-Australian.
Absolutely.
You know, what a awful situation has found himself in post-career, and exactly goes to exactly what you're just talking about, isn't it, Loz? And we hear it, not a lot, but it does happen, doesn't it?
Oh, most situations definitely does, like that, you know. And these players go from having so much adulation thrown at them, superstars, people know who they are, and all of a sudden,
you're a number.
1 year after retirement, people don't know who you are, or what you've achieved, and all of a sudden it hits you that, I'm in the real world here.
Yeah.
So the quicker you can be grounded and the quicker you can have something to dig your teeth into straight away, I think the better you'll always be.
I think it's something in sport. I can't really speak so much for the NRL because I'm not 100% sure, but I know in basketball and other sports, it's something in sport that we need to do better to be able to prepare people. They come out, basketball, you can come out of school, go straight to the institute, go into an NBL team, you know nothing else, and you're getting thrown hundreds of thousands of dollars and life's easy. It's very hard.
All right. VAR, bunker, interference. Ange Postecoglou's had a crack at the VAR, or had a bit of a rant on the VAR in the wake of the loss from Tottenham against Arsenal over the course of the weekend in the North London Derby. Let's have a listen to what Ange had to say.
Doesn't matter if I saw it. What matters is that, as I've said all along, games are not refereed at the stadium anymore. They're refereed somewhere else. And no one will convince me otherwise. It's not even re-refereed. It's refereed somewhere else. It's why I don't celebrate goals anymore. I've got to wait for somebody down the road. So I just don't think referees in the stadium anymore have that authority they used to make decisions. They just go, you know what, I'll just wait till see what the bloke down the road thinks. And it's a shame. I don't like it, but it's here to stay, and I've got to accept it like everyone else.
Yeah, Ange Postecoglou there. I heard Bulldog, actually. I think he wrote it in the paper yesterday, our man Dean Ritchie, that, to reduce interference, and whether it be VAR in football, maybe bunker in the NRL, leave it up to the players to do captain's challenges, like we see in the cricket now with the DRS. Not a perfect solution, but he got poo-pooed when he sort of announced it on 360 last night. I actually don't mind it because, the Appy Corrissau one we were speaking about yesterday, Loz, and just so many tries we see, which we've seen over the course of 100 years, is a try.
Yeah, but how's that going to change?
Well, it depends. So
if you go to the video ref...
If you get one incorrect challenge, a half. So the referee has to make a decision.
You're right.
And the only time you bring in a bunker is if the defending side wants to challenge.
Yeah, but the referee, he blew it upstairs. Well, blew the whistle, took it upstairs, but gave a no try. So his decision would have been no try.
Okay. But you can't do that unless he has to. Okay, well, his decision would have been no try.
No, yeah,
okay,
that's what. I mean.
Well, that would have been an incorrect decision.
So you get an, and you're after an extra challenge during the game, is that right? Or just have the
Well, the referee can't send it upstairs, is what we're saying. It's only it's in the hands of the players to send it upstairs, and you get one incorrect, one and a half. That's what Bulldog's argument was. I didn't mind it.
Yeah, well, I don't see how it's any different because the players could have sent it upstairs on Saturday.
But they get it wrong, they're not sending it up again.
Yeah, but they would have
got it
wrong.
And the referee can't either.
Because if they said, oh, well, we think that's a try, you've got it wrong, they send it up. The video referee, his decision has been no try.
I understand. I guess...
I don't see merit in that, no.
Okay. I was watching that last night. And I do understand where he's coming from. My problem is if you have that as well, it gets back. I still remember in the Ashes series where they went upstairs, lost the call, and then Lion Bowles, clear plum, not out.
And then you get
a situation.
That now was the famous Headingley
right,
test
now it's,
in 19. Yeah.
Now it's the captain's fault.
Yeah.
So I think we're just diverting. I have absolutely no doubt. You got to have them in sport. If you don't, then you can't rely on a referee now to make the right call every time in the pace of any sport, any single sport. You got to have bunkers. You got to have. I just think that's what it is. Yeah. And there's going to be howlers, and everyone.
Well,
makes
it's here
mistakes.
To stay. They're not taking it away.
No,
that's
and,
the problem.
And I don't think you can.
We mightn't all agree with it.
Yeah.
But it's not going away. And in fact, they're going to use it more. Do I agree with the bunker? No, I don't.
But
am
I
getting used to seeing the bunker? Yes, I am. Does it annoy me when they take a long period of time to come up with a decision? Yes. And I get as annoyed as any rugby league fan.
So, Loz, I'll throw this at you then. 20 years ago when there was no bunker, are we getting better decisions now than where we were back
then?
I'd
say there'd be more correct decisions.
Yeah. And is that...
But I'll tell you what else there'd be. There'd be more argument about the decisions. Because in the past, you just played on.
Yeah.
You didn't have time to go back and review and analyse.
Slow motion. Or
everything was just... decision was made, and then you rolled.
Yeah.
So you didn't have chance to go back and review everything. Mm-hmm. You might have after the game. But that's like these six to goes, because they're all subjective.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't know what that's been given for. Mm. You know, all they do is wave their hand around and away you go. But...
Yeah.
Did I like it at the start? No, I didn't. Have I become accustomed to it? Yeah. Do I actually know why they're waving their hand and giving another six to go? Only because I read it on the television.
Yeah, it's a good
But
one.
If I'm in a game, I wouldn't have a clue. I just see that as like the tackle that's happened before.
Yeah.
Just as slow or just as fast. So I think it's just something that we accept.
The one thing I did like about what Bulldog was saying is if you got it wrong, you lose an interchange. I didn't mind that because it was like, all right, well, you think it's that bad, go for it. But geez, you're going to give up something if you do. I didn't mind that.
Yeah, I don't think players think about that in the heat of the moment, though.
No, you're right.
Mate, every player, when you make a mistake, you don't think it's a mistake.
Yeah. No.
Look.
And they're hard because you have the ball and you come into contact, all right?
Mm.
You might think you've gripped the ball, but if it has a little bit of a bobble and touches you, they will deem that a knock on into the opposition play. But you don't notice that at the time.
You're screaming
back out, I never dropped it. I never lost control. But if it looks like it's just sort of rolled out a little bit, mate,
you're losing
the protest.
I'm really struggling with basketball at the moment. If you look at it, this swirling of the finger. Get the replay. You would have seen this too. Middo, you would love where they're like swinging their hands. Yeah. Come on, click it. And it's like, mate, like you're in the heat of the action. Be careful.
Yeah.
You might have got off someone else. You don't know. No. And coaches, it's hard. Hard work.
I see in football, Sweden, it's the only one of Europe's top 30 leagues where they haven't brought in the VAR. The Swedish, they're onto something.